Hey everyone, this is Adam. This message is for any teachers, principals, or administrators within the school. Don't know if you know, but a couple years ago, we launched our Lead 'Em Up Classroom program, an in-school curriculum designed to be used by teachers for their students to develop them into the leaders needed to win. Obviously, originating in athletics, we didn't jump right in and make it available for all. We did a three-year pilot to make sure we got it right. And man, these past 3 years have been fantastic. The feedback has been incredible. The students have been growing and the teachers have been raving about this program. So this year we are excited to make it available for all. If you are a teacher, a principal, if you work within a school and you would love a fresh curriculum that is able to engage and excite students and improve them, engage their character to be elevated, developing them as a leader, the Lead 'Em Up Classroom Curriculum is perfect for you. Go online, leademup.com, and check out our schools tab and read all about the classroom program that is transforming schools around the country. We would love to have you be part of our classroom community. Go check it out. Now, let's jump in to today's episode.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Welcome back to the Lead 'Em Up podcast. I'm here today with Adam Bradley, and we are here discussing how to motivate today's athletes, keeping them engaged and avoiding burnout. So, coaches, this is one topic that's been brought up several times here recently to us and has been posed to us on what can we do to continue to motivate today's athletes at a high level. And there's several things that we can do to enhance this motivation and several strategies that we're going to give you today. But Adam, I want to start with purpose. And for me, when I look at this topic of purpose and motivating today's athletes, I think it begins there because maybe we're not clear on what it is we're trying to achieve or what the overall mission is for the team here. There's a lot of athletes that may end up in a sport or maybe they're just trying something out or in this year's version of the team where it hasn't been clearly communicated to them on what it is we're trying to do. What is the ultimate goal or for them as the individual, what is the purpose behind that? So for me, I think it starts with purpose. And I'm curious on your thoughts on how would you gauge that? What would you do if you're taking over a team? And what would be one of the first things that you would establish for clearly stating the purpose of this year's team?
So let me ask you for more clarity on that. Are you saying purpose from a team perspective? Are you saying purpose from an individual perspective, each person individually? Are you saying like a deeper purpose, like a bigger picture type purpose, like maybe non-sports related, like not necessarily championship? Like,
right.
I think I know where you're going with this, but I'm curious.
Yeah,
to kind of unpack that a little bit.
I think first we need to start at the team level before we get to the individual level. And clearly communicate what is the ultimate goal for the team. Now, obviously you're competitive and you want to win and that's the ultimate goal, but how do we do so in a way to where it's motivating and inspiring to today's athletes without them just saying, okay, I'm on this team. We're going to practice. We're going to show up. We're going to go to games. We're going to try to win. And then, okay, I'm just going to go about my life. How do we get them to where it means more to them in that sense?
I mean, I think one thing with the purpose is, and I agree with you because, you know, we start with essentially that vision and purpose kind of ties to that vision, getting them to see why we are going in the direction we're going, like how that's going to benefit us, how that's going to help us kind of just, you know, reap the rewards of that work. So I do agree with that. And for me, when I think about purpose and I think about setting that intention at the early onset, I want them to understand like how good it will be if we get there. I want them to feel the purpose, like not just hear it, but I also want them to experience emotionally what that can produce in them if we lean in on this. You know, I oftentimes talk about like green teams change your life. That when you get everybody in the room all looking out for one another, loving one another, working together, getting better each day, competing, all these different dynamics, man, it changes your life. It allows you to look back and say, man, hey, you remember that 2023 team? Oh my gosh, that was the best team of my life. That was the best season of my life. So for me, when I begin to think about purpose, I want to connect it to the emotional kind of thought processes and feelings within my players, because I want them to feel that. I want them to know that there's something that is going to be powerful, that's going to change them, that they're going to feel, that's going to empower them and boost them in their daily lives. So I think with me, it's not like, hey, listen, we're trying to win a championship. Okay, if that's in and of itself, in many ways, it feels shallow. In many ways, it feels distant. In many ways, for some teams, it seems unrealistic. So all of a sudden, we say like, hey, we want to win championships. Like, okay, that's cool. But like, that may happen 5 months from now.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it'll be such a, I feel that there's a very small percentage of athletes that are so driven that like even the goal of 5 or 6, you know, like that causes them every single day to wake up with purpose. Like they see it. It's a select few. The majority, it's too distant. It's too out there. It's too far away to really grasp and allow the day to day. And for us, we've got to impact the day to day. When we talk about the burnout is the day to day. So you've got to connect this outward purpose, this ultimate goal of winning or wherever it happens to be for your team, but connect it so they feel it daily.
Right.
So they feel it daily.
And most of our coaches are teachers as well. And so they'll kind of get this reference, like in the educational world, the phrase of a backward design model, right? And we're starting with that, with the vision. I think it's really important, as you're stating there, is explaining the why in detail, but connecting that why in detail to the emotions, because again, the emotions are what's going to drive the behavior. And for a lot of our kids, as you said, some of them are at that elite level already where they're constantly driven with number 6 in the green team and they're striving for that every day. But for others, they don't know, because honestly, they don't know. They haven't experienced it yet. So they need someone to paint that bigger picture of why. But then as the coach and one of the leaders of the team and for the rest of the coaching staff, our job is to follow that up with, this is what it feels like, right? This is what you're going to get out of it. These are the benefits beyond winning, because for a lot of them, winning is fleeting, and we all know that. But when that victory or defeat happens, what's going to sustain you through that? So I think that's the first thing, is the purpose, the vision, connecting that to the why and to the emotions. And then we can kind of start to get into more of the individual things that we can do to motivate athletes. So absolutely agree with the vision there.
You know, and I would add on to that, you know, I think there's power in celebrating the wins attached to that vision. And when we talk about the potential burnout, by the way, this whole topic of burnout, man, I think this is a topic more relevant than ever. You think about the schedule demands, you think about the pressure that athletics has on kids these days. Like, it's an intense job.
I saw yesterday my nephew's coach posted this on Facebook. And when I saw it, I wanted to like just cringe and throw up. It was like they all got kids that are relatively in the age of like 8 to 13. Every single day for the month of April, the kids had 3 different sports going on, but every single night for the month of April, there was no break. I mean, burnout is such a real factor.
I mean, it's why we won't let our girls do more than one activity at a time. I mean, I know some kids that, I mean, they're in multiple sports, they're doing cheer and soccer, and like, you know, it's a full time. But even in like the high school space, I mean, I've got football teams right now that are practicing, or not practicing, but weightlifting and training after school 3 days a week. that's been going on pretty much since the end of the season. Yeah. It's going to go up until summer. Summer, it will then move to 4 times a week. Plus, they'll have 7-on-7 in the spring and summer. And then the season comes August 15th. Like, I mean, I remember, and I, once again, I always am hesitant to say, oh, when I was younger, like, I always think that's like annoying for people a lot of times. But I remember August 15th was like, that was the day. It almost was like,
you couldn't wait.
You couldn't wait. It was almost like a reunion. Like, yeah. Like it was like the first time all the guys were getting back together. It was like it was a new, all right, let's go. Right. Where here, I mean, August 15th, in some cases, especially now that they've got these staggered, let's take football, for example, where you can't even go like full gear until later. You've got to kind of transition to full gear. August 15th or whatever that return to sport day is, it actually doesn't seem much different than what they've been doing for the last 6 months.
It's almost mid-season.
It's almost mid-season. So like the burnout is absolutely real. So you, once again, casting that vision is so important, that purpose and connecting it to their emotional component, but then celebrating the wins along the way.
Yeah.
So if the goal ultimately is to win a championship, that's great. But like, I need some wins to keep me fired up. I need some wins to keep me motivated. I need some wins communicated and celebrated and embraced to make sure I know and to and inspire me along this journey as we reach and work towards that ultimate goal. I mean, that has to be done. And I think one way to avoid burnout is to be very intentional to celebrate the wins throughout the process, to celebrate these moments, to bring light to these incredible days and practices, and like, you know, make comments in the sense of, oh man, today was awesome. Honestly, that is why I love this team. There's no place I'd rather be than with this group on a Tuesday morning. Like comments like that to like, let them feel like, man, this is good. This is awesome. I'm enjoying this. Those statements like that have to be kind of communicated to just kind of fuel the players in many ways.
Yeah, it has to be authentic. And it's like you're reading the notes off my page here, because that was the first thing I had underneath like the individual part is you have to celebrate success, but you have to be very intentional and specific with it. So one of the things that, you know, I've kind of studied from some of the really great coaches is that when you're offering the praise and the celebration of these successes, you can't just say, oh, that was awesome. That was the best. Oh, you're so good at that. Because what happens then is when you give praise that kind of goes that route, they start to work for approval rather than improvement. So what you need to do instead of that is celebrate those small wins and success. And one of the things I remember that was really powerful is, let's take, you know, the off-season programs, for example. If you have your summer workout program, you're going to measure the baseline at the beginning of that. If you start to see improvement after week 2, week 3, you celebrate just that specific improvement. If you notice something on film and you call it out and you see that that player has made the adjustment, oh, I really like how you ran that route and you made that break right there. Or I really like, as you know, the defensive back, that you were able to maintain the leverage here when that was run. Like specific praise like that helps keep the athletes motivated, because that is a win in itself right there. And I also love what you just said about the line of, oh, I am so glad I am here as your coach. I love this team. Because when you have, the reality is a lot of us aren't going to have players that are going to be professional athletes. So for some of these kids, high school is it, and they're freely giving of their time to be on this. And when you tell them that, it is so rewarding for you to be a part of it with them, it connects them to something bigger. Mm. And then that's the emotional component that you're tying to. And if they feel that, then they're going to give more. They'll do more, and burnout will kind of take a back seat, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, and just continuing on this theme, Kyle, you know, stagnation is one of the greatest causes of burnout. Right. It's this not feeling like you're progressing, not moving forward. You're not seeing and reaping the benefits of your hard work. So you feel stagnant, and the stagnant then discourages you, causes you to begin to evaluate things and say, why am I doing this? What is the point? This is stupid. This is annoying, which then begins to make the work more painful. And as the work becomes more painful, and less attractive, then all of a sudden I get burned out even greater. It's why, for example, painful work like typing in an Excel doc for a guy like me is so painful, right? Like it's painful work that I spend 30 minutes having to do some data entry in an Excel doc, and I am exhausted. I am burned out. So we've got to recognize that we want to make sure at all times that the work that our athletes are engaging in does not begin to feel painful for them. And one of the things that can help us avoid it becoming painful for them is to pull out the growth that's taking place within it, spotlighting it, continuing to build on this theme of winning, spotlighting the growth. I've never, to my knowledge, met somebody who got burned out in the midst of continual growing and improvement.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there's examples out there, but like, generally speaking, if I'm growing, if I am improving, if there are tangible enhancements being made, I'm not getting discouraged. I'm not burning out. I mean, think about a gym, you know, with the workout. They often say if you read a lot of the Men's Health and study that kind of physical fitness, man, they say one of the greatest motivators is simply seeing gains.
Yeah.
Simply seeing gains. It's like you can work, and you don't see like you're seeing anything. You're looking in the mirror. You're not seeing any definition changes, pain. Now, all of a sudden, I'm starting to get discouraged a little bit. Now this work's becoming more painful and more frustrating because I'm not getting anything out, but bam. They say psychologically, the moment you see the gain, you see the definition, you begin to see something pop. Oh, snap. Is that a pack in my abs? Is that the beginning of a six pack? Oh, let's go.
Right.
Let's go. Right. And then all of a sudden it gets amplified. Okay. So taking that same metaphor of just, you know, can we help our players see the gains, to see the growth, to feel the growth? Because if not, man, the stagnation is going to creep in and the work they're doing is going to feel more painful because it's not coming with a gain associated with it. Can you help your players see the gains throughout the work? So critical. And that, you know, I think about for us and Lead Them Up, it's why I constantly do updates on the green team score. We'll score ourselves in the beginning and see where we are. I don't want them to think that our work and Lead Them Up is for that we're laboring in vain. I want them to feel some growth. The percentages are moving in a positive direction. Don't you feel it? It's feeling better. Let's keep it going. That's why we always want to do verifications ongoing, because we want to celebrate those people improving and working once again so they can see and feel the gains from their work.
Right. The tangible with the intangibles there. And we have so many coaches in our community that do a really great job of that, you know, where they're highlighting things that the kids are doing leadership wise, and they're promoting, they're celebrating the verifications, they're promoting and they're celebrating the work that's being done in the weight room. And when you see that happen in those programs, you can see the momentum start to build before their season even gets there. And you can feel a level of excitement that's around the program, right? And you see some of our coaches that are getting 60 plus kids that show up for off-season workouts. Why are they doing that? They're not getting something, you know, tangible from that, but they're getting something that's fulfilling. And it's been communicated to them on how this plays a role in the process. And they're seeing and experiencing the growth out of that. And what you mentioned there is so true, because for, you know, just think about it with the kids and the games that they play in our society and our culture. You know, I see it as an adult where we're learning Spanish in our house because we're going to take a trip to Mexico this year and trying to refresh it. So on this Duolingo app, every day it gets me to go on there because it'll show you your progress. It'll give you an alert, or you'll see how you've grown just a little bit. And you're like, okay, I'm actually retaining some. I'm getting a little bit better at it. So for our athletes, it doesn't need to be an app, but it could just be something that's visible in the locker room or the shared team space where you're showing who's been consistent, who's making gains. And I think when the kids feel acknowledged and they feel any type of celebration towards the actions that they're putting forward, they're going to give more.
Man, good stuff. And how's that? How's it going learning Spanish?
It's not bad.
Can you give us a little something?
You know what? I know how everyone and anyone can eat apples. That's the one thing, manzanas, they keep talking about in the app. They give you like this situational stuff. But sometimes my wife and I look at each other like, can they make this more conversational? Like, we know every color, we know every object, we know every place, but I want to be able to be fluent in conversation. So we're
eating apples every day in Mexico. Yeah. Manzanas.
Yeah,
yo mañana? Manzanas. Más manzanas mañana. All right. More apples tomorrow.
But it gets me.
Gets you, you know, and I got to be honest, when I stop and think about this, another major, major component that coaches have to be leaning into is what is oftentimes talked about as social awareness in the clinical psychology space. Social awareness, the third component of emotional intelligence, obviously emotional intelligence intertwined with leadership in an incredibly high level. The third level is social awareness. So if you think about emotional intelligence, I've referenced it a couple of times on podcasts before. First level is self-awareness. Second is self-management. Third is social awareness. Fourth is relationship management. So when you spend time on the social awareness, basically that is encouraging us as leaders to be alert, to be on the look, right? Looking outward, scanning, as we oftentimes say in the lifeguarding space, within one of our exercises, constantly scanning, you know, perusing the team, looking around, being so aware of the social cues, the body language, the nonverbals, the things of that nature, i.e. the temperature in the room, the pulse of the team, all those things you could kind of fall under the social awareness. I think when we talk about engaging kids and avoiding burnout, one of the major things coaches have to do a great job is be on the lookout for it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be intentional to be looking for these things, right? Feeling, you know, in paying attention to body language, paying attention to slouched shoulders, paying attention to kids that are, you know, aren't as smiling, aren't as happy, right? Aren't celebrating their teammates, things like that. Once again, sometimes they will demonstrate behavior that could give off that there could be something wrong, and maybe there isn't. Maybe it's just a day, right?
Yeah.
But that one day, on some kids, it could be the beginning stages of burnout, right? That they're exhibiting that, and for us, the quicker we can address that and identify it and jump in, the better, right? Lifeguards always say a dry lifeguard is a great lifeguard because you can save them before it happens. Okay. And they always say it is much easier to save an individual when they're dry versus having to jump in the water and get them while they're wet. Okay. Same thought process. How can we be so proactive that we actually prevent burnout in the sense that we never let it get there? We're overly alert. Right. I mean, and that's the challenge there from a burnout standpoint. If, you know, when I'm hosting Lead 'Em Up sessions and we've been kind of ongoing, I am constantly alert, extremely sensitive to just kind of monotony, repetition.
Yeah, the stale feeling and just kind of the glazed over look.
Yeah, the glazed over look, the stale feeling. All right, you know, we're week 9 of Lead 'Em Up. Where are we? And I'm so alert on that because I think one of the biggest things for me is, I mean, I need engagement. I need enthusiasm and engagement, bottom line. Like that is like one of the biggest things I need from the teams I work with. Like, listen, even if you got to fake it for 45 minutes, I need you in. I need you in. It's just not going to help us serve us in any way if you're not in. So I'm paying very close attention to that. And if I get the sense like, you know, oh man, I just feel like we're a little stale. I feel like there could be some burnout fatigue as we've been going through this for so long. I then adapt. I pivot. I'll change it up. I will brainstorm something new for a moment. I'll say, you know what? Hey guys, today we're doing something very different. It's why one of the reasons I constantly change up locations. It's one of my hacks. I don't always do it, but I do when I sense that teams are getting a little burned out just from the season and all that, I will change where we do lead them up just to give it a completely different vibe. I'll tell coach, hey, is there a way we can get out of the classroom today and go in the locker room? I want to host today's session in the locker room. He'll be like, yeah. Why? I'm like, I just think we need to change it up. I need a little bit of a fresh air. I get a sense that there's a little bit of just fatigue and leadership fatigue, and let's move it. But there's a lot of, you know, leaders that aren't paying attention to those cues. They're just kind of going day in, day out, just kind of focusing on what is next and what's needed and what we got to get done today. And I believe if you do pay attention to these things, it'll actually allow you to get more out of the players, which are going to help you in turn.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's leadership nugget. You must lead tasks before you can lead people. Too many people are concerned with the leadership title. Success is defined by when they begin to lead others. But each of us leads in a multitude of areas each and every single day. If we effectively lead the responsibilities that we currently have, it creates future opportunities to lead people. Leadership takes all sorts of different forms, and if you haven't started yet, you can begin your leadership journey today. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
One of the things I wanted to share, and it's such a benefit to our coaches' membership, getting to have these calls with our coaches. So coaches, if you're not familiar, when you join Lead 'Em Up, you get a virtual session, whether it's with your team or with your staff. And Adam, last night I was able to have one with one of our new members out in California, and it's a football program with 85 kids in it. And all 10 coaches were on the call last night. And one of the coaches had a great idea to your point about lifeguarding. He asked a question near the end of like, okay, so is this something you would recommend to where maybe one of us coaches individually is in charge of lifeguarding and making sure our players are doing that at a high level? I'm like, you know, absolutely. Why not? You know, why not have people on staff to where it's not always, again, on the head coach, because there's so much on the head coach's plate already. And if you don't have a leadership coach already working with your program, then as an assistant coach, we can start to delegate some of those responsibilities to everyone to where now there's another set of eyes out there on it. And it's not always on one person to be in charge of looking that out. The more eyes we have scanning, the better off we're going to be. The more voices that are connected to the same message that are sharing that throughout the season, the more emotionally invested the players will be. So that's the power of the common language, the shared vision, and then having multiple people that are facilitating it. And I don't think it can be just left to one person. It has to be an entire team approach, and every coach has to feel invested in it and that they play a role in it. I think that goes a long way in carrying that out.
I'd never thought about a lifeguard director, but I like it.
You know, I mean, their job is just to make sure you check in with the players and make sure that they're scanning the water. And then you're also the facilitator, the director of the six program, and making sure that they're, you know, that's another component that can help us make sure that no one's kind of falling through the cracks there.
Yeah, I mean, I just think at the end of the day, coaches have to be very, very conscious. You know, I think we need to do a great job communicating purpose and vision, right? So there's a deeper motivator in this, right? We need to constantly connect back the wins so they can see the gains and feel the gains. And then we also need to do a great job scanning and being intentional to find these moments where our players are getting burned out. And then, you know, in the midst of that scanning, be okay pulling back. Be okay pulling back. You know, classic story, and I think it was after a 3-game losing streak, Duke basketball had been really struggling. And Coach K, this was on the Hardwood Hustle years ago. Chris Spatola.
Yeah,
Chris Spatola, his son-in-law shared the story. He was on staff at the time. They had just lost to Clemson, I believe, 3 in a row. A lot of pressure, a lot of you know, critics getting on Duke basketball. What's wrong with Duke basketball? And after that game, you know, Coach K asked the coaches, you know, like, what do you think we do tomorrow? What do we think? You know, like, what's everyone thinking? And the assistants brainstormed for a period of time and threw out all these ideas. You know, let's take practice like this. We need to work them here. We need to work on this. We need to work on this part of our game. And as Coach K sat there and listened to everyone, the exercise actually turned to be a futile exercise because it didn't go anywhere, because he basically jumped in after about 30 minutes and said, I've got an idea. I think I know what we need to do. Nothing of which was just shared.
Right, right.
We're going to have an ice cream party and we're going to go in the pool. Next day, the kids came in, all assuming, man, they're going to be ran, pushed, all of that stuff. Three-game losing streak. He said, no, just ice cream party and pool time. And it was because he was socially aware. He was aware of the temperature in the room, the pulse of the team. He could sense that the problem wasn't execution. It was burnout. These kids had been going for so long with so much pressure and back-to-backs and things of that nature. He goes, what's going to help me win right now is to do less, is to address this burnout question.
Less is more sometimes.
And he said, Chris Spatola said, oh, it was exactly what the team needed. And that's great leadership. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's the sign and mark of highly emotional, intelligent leaders is when you hear phrases that they always know the right buttons to push, or they engage in behaviors that leaves everyone else saying, this is exactly what we needed, right? When you get those responses to how you show up, you are doing your leadership very well, right? Versus like the other coach who just keeps square peg, round hole, trying to make it work. And I'm just going to keep pushing. It's like, hello, can you not see what is going on? Are you that blinded? Do you have blinders on to not be aware of the situation? You've got to. And addressing this topic of burnout, you know, it's just really, really, I mean, it's critical. It's critical, especially in today's world where sports has now become a yearly thing.
Yeah, that's the last couple of things I have here. Have fun, right? Be able to pull back, have that ice cream party, or show up and play wiffle ball, have a volleyball game, make it, you know, just break up the monotony of it, give them something fresh. And then the fourth component you kind of mentioned there a little bit ago, it's relationships. How do you avoid burnout? How do you avoid people feeling like they're not engaged? How do you keep them motivated? You got to build a strong relationship with them. They have to feel like they're cared for as an individual rather than just a player or a teammate. So they have to feel connected to their teammate. You know, there's specific ways that you can do that. Obviously, you know, we do that through going for the goal, through story, through a lot of our exercises, but they also need to feel connected to the coaching staff. And the best way to do that is just to find time to have small conversations with them. Just in passing, when you see them before or after practice, make it not related to the game or sport itself. Laugh, you know, joke about things, talk about things that are going on in and out of school. But I think when people see you as human and you're seeing them as human rather than just the coach-athlete dynamic, then that's when you start to feel like a family. It's not just the, you know, we put our hands in there, 1, 2, 3 family. It's when you're really taking the time to get to know those people, build the connections, invest in them at a high level. That's when, even when you do feel tired or burnout might creep up, you're not going to let that really dominate your thoughts because you're that emotionally invested to the other people on the team. And it means that much to you. So I think you gotta be aware of that, and you've got to build relationships.
Yeah, I saw a quote the other day. I know we're about to wrap up this episode here. I saw a quote that said, I see a lot of successful people. Unfortunately, they're successful by the wrong metrics. And I thought that was a really kind of thought-provoking quote there. And I tend to agree with it. There are a lot of people that are really, really successful, but it's based off the wrong metrics. And I think about what you're just saying here with the relationship side. You know what? Yes, there are coaches that can win in spite of relationships, right? yes, there are coaches that can win by not investing and pouring into their kids the way they could and all. That, for me, this is just from my opinion, that's not the metrics I want to be graded on to be successful.
No, that's shallow. You know,
I want, and one of the things, one of my favorite statements I hear players say about their coaches, which always causes me want to learn more about the coach, which always elevates the coach's perception, the one that I have of them, right? It always elevates it a couple levels. Whenever I hear a player say this, oh, I would do anything for that coach. Mm-hmm. I would do anything for him. I would do anything for her. You know, growing up here in DC as a football fan, like, that's how the players would always speak about Joe Gibbs.
Right.
These players would say, oh my gosh, I would do anything for Coach Gibbs. Right. There's other coaches all throughout the country, you know, that players will say that. I think about my old Hardwood Hustle co-host, TJ Rosine. The kids are like, I would do anything for Coach Rosine. Anything. And they're all invited, you know, he's invited every wedding. And like, right. When I see that, I'm like, okay, tell me more. Tell me more. I want to learn from that person. Absolutely. Because that person has a gift. That person, in many ways, to your point, man, they are locked in on the relationship side. You are not just a number. You are not just another kind of cog on the wheel, right? In the machine of our program, in the machine of our team, here today, gone tomorrow. If you want to leave, I'll replace you. It's not viewed that way, right? That there's a deeper intimate feeling. And I believe when you're doing sport alongside people that you love, working for leaders that love and care for you, burnout gets reduced significantly.
Absolutely.
It goes from being a have to a get to, a joy. I would do anything. Showing up and working hard today, no problem, coach. Listen, you're my guy. You're my girl. I love you. You know, like, man, when we get that relationship right, it gets the burnout perfect.
Yeah, the last point I'll make, kind of, you know, piggybacking off of what you said there, is what is a good metric for that? It's when the season's over, only one team is going to experience victory. Everyone else's season is going to end in defeat. And at the end of that season, are the tears just from defeat, or are the tears because that's the last time this particular group's going to be together? And if the tears are because it's the last time this group is going to be together as a family in that locker room, you've won. You know, I don't care what it is on the scoreboard. I don't care what it is, a trophy, because you've reached someone's heart. You've built a relationship. And then that's the memory they're going to carry for the rest of their lives. They'll point back to that season, and you've certainly taught them how to play the game. But more importantly, you've taught them life, leadership, character through the sport that now they're going to be able to teach other people with. And that's a win. So if there's, you know, it's the tears because the journey is over for this season, but there's so much good that came out of it. And I think that's the metric we need to measure ourselves by. Mm. So, coaches, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. What are some good things that you do in your program? Or what's one of the things that maybe someone did for you when you were younger to help avoid this feeling of burnout and to keep your athletes highly engaged? Love to hear your thoughts on social. Keep the conversation going. As always, we appreciate you listening, your support of Lead 'Em Up. For Adam, I'm Kyle. Have fun and lead 'em up.